Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. That's FITBOD.ME/Zabe. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZabeCast.
No. We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
Monday, October 30th, 2023. I was cold on Sunday. Why do I underdress for Packer home games? I knew the temp was going to be in the high 30s. Yet somehow, Andy Pollin, I thought, well, it's the first bit of winter up here in the upper Midwest. Oh, my voice is going too. I apologize for that. I said, I won't be that cold. I was indeed cold. And it's only going to get worse from here on out. How you doing on this glorious Sunday night, my friend?
Let me get this straight. So I'm hearing complaints about weather outside the metropolitan area of Washington, D.C.
Yes. Yes. If there's one thing I'm good at, it's complaining about the weather.
You don't like it here. Now you don't like it there.
I like
Where
it here.
Do you want to go?
I love it here from June to September. Actually, May 15 through September 30th here is glorious.
Yeah.
But you pay for it in blood. And when the summer goes in the upper Midwest, it's literally like it says, oh, snap, I got to go. And then they're out of there. They leave the party. That summer leaves the party here so quick, it'll make your head spin. Some places, the transitional season, spring and fall, seem to last and go on forever and ever. In the Carolinas, that was the case. Spring and fall lasted forever. In fact, perfect climate, as you know, Andy, for me, for my East Coast rhythms, is North Carolina, where I did live briefly in Charlotte and loved it. You?
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I mean, the places I've lived here most of my life. I lived in Texas for 6 years.
And?
I would say of the three cities in Texas, San Antonio was probably the best climate.
Really? Wait, hold on. List the cities in Texas.
Okay, I was in Beaumont, Texas, which is close to Houston. It's 90 miles east of Houston, so it's more Louisiana, very humid, a lot of mosquitoes. Okay.
Technically Texas, but shakes and moves like Louisiana.
Pretty much. A lot of people like Robidoux names there with an E-U-X at the
Robidoux.
End.
Robidoux. Yeah. With the Robidoux down there in Louisiana.
Boudin.
Boudin.
So that San Antonio is can be very hot, but it's not a brutally humid hot. And I found Dallas to be, and this was funny because going to that Super Bowl that year, I said, you know, the climate can be a lot like D.C. And you went, bah, 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 bah. And what happened? We got snowed and iced in, right?
It was a disaster.
Yeah.
And I've spoken of that week many a time. I shall not speak of it again. It was the most brutally freakish snow and ice storm that crippled Dallas for 5 straight days. It didn't let go of its icy grip until we left on Friday.
Saturday.
Maybe even Saturday. But it did not get above freezing from Tuesday afternoon until Friday evening. I believe it creeped over 32. It was bad. It was bad. So we shall not speak of it. But look, you know, it was cold at Lambeau Field, and the Packers completely stunk, and they scored. Let me check my notes here so I'm not misquoting things, Andy. 3 points in the first half. That's not very good. That's no touchdowns in the first half. They have now gone walking back game by game in the first half, 3-0, 3-3-0, to be outscored in the first half their last 5 games, 73-9. 73-9!
Yeah, so after 30 years of unbelievable quarterback prosperity, Green Bay Packer fans are about to join the rest of the world in the search through the desert to find the quarterback, it looks like, right?
Yes, and right now there's a certain number of people that are still saying, you know, with what Jordan Love has to work with, give me a quarterback that could possibly succeed in that situation. To which somebody said, Aaron Rodgers? And that's the potential nightmare for Packer fans, that Rodgers was the giant bucket of industrial spackle that was spackling over a lot of personnel weaknesses and a bad offensive scheme and a not very good head coach in Matt LaFleur, who they've given an extension to already. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But so far, it's been ugly. And I was in the stands with my producer, Josh, as we always are for home games. And when the Packers finally made a first down late in the first half, there was this sarcastic cheering. I mean, the whole stadium sarcastically cheered for the first down. You might say, how can you tell what a sarcastic cheer sounds like? And I would say, oh, if you were there, you would have heard the tone with which the crowd cheered the first down. It was embarrassing.
So Packer fans have morphed into Philly fans rather quickly, sounds like.
No, no, no. We're not savages like they are. But, you know, they're fed up. Look, again, 303-330. 73-9.
Fed up. Walk in our shoes.
Whoa.
Walk in the quarterback's muck that has been here for the last 30 years.
on the ride home, Josh and I have a fun little game of trying to out-sarcastic each other about how bad things are. And so I look at him like, well, all right, so we're what? We're 2-5 now, huh? Okay. You got the Rams, the Steelers, and the Chargers. And then you got the Chiefs and the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah, you know what? I think if they can, if they can win three of those next five games, you know, we're in a decent spot to make a run at the end of the year. Before I added, but I'm afraid they might have used up all their touchdown for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
We've used up all of our touchdown. Singular. Mm-hmm. It's bad. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kirk Cousins went down in this game with a torn Achilles, and that is a huge dagger for Viking fans primarily, and one for Kirk fans as well, which I am. I'm a Kirk fan because he's a classic overachiever. He was on his way to another great season, even without Justin Jefferson the last couple of weeks. He's at almost 70% completions and was 16 over 5 touchdowns to INTs. The O-line was finally protecting him, and he blows out his Achilles. Tough one.
Yeah. He's a free agent at the end of the year,
and
too.
He's a free agent, which normally there'd be a lot of hand-wringing, like, oh, isn't this a terrible break? I'm telling you, the way Kirk is made and the way he rolls and how notoriously frugal he is and the money he's already made, he is not sweating somebody giving him a contract.
You know what I was thinking watching the 49ers lose to the Bengals? That it's not out of the question that he reunites with Kyle next season, even
not
though Purdy's there.
In the slightest. Purdy is dirt cheap and under control for 5 years, technically.
Right. That
5 years. You could park Purdy behind Kirk and say, be ready if needed, but learn and watch this guy go.
Yeah. I think it's not out of the realm of possibility. And I think it might be something that Kirk would want to do.
Well, I think it's a high probability. I don't know what the cap situation is for the Niners. They have depleted their draft pick stock because of a number of trades. They've got a lot of guys who are going to have to get paid. But no, if I were a betting man, I'd put $10 on that scenario happening because it's the perfect storm of we could just buy him. And he would want to come here, although he said he wanted to stay in Minnesota as well.
Yeah, but I think that ship has run its course. Yeah. I think it's time for them to move on.
Possibly so. But, I mean, look at the headlines from week 8. The Kaleidoscope League, as always, turns. You had the Chiefs and the Niners both losing. Who had, on their bingo card, the Broncos, a defense that gave up 70 points this year, shutting down the Kansas City Chiefs? Entirely.
Yeah.
Nobody had that.
Mahomes was playing with the flu, but yeah.
Is that the word that it was? The flu, huh?
Well, they said it before the game. I mean, it's not like, after the game, they revealed he had the flu.
But he played, right?
He played.
Did Michael Jordan ever have a good game with the flu?
Oh, okay. But they said that they were giving him IVs, and dehydration is worse in high altitude. That doesn't mean he shouldn't have won the game. I'm just saying that is something that they said before the game, not after the game.
He had such a bad case of the flu, he could only throw the ball 38 times.
I don't know.
Around all game avoiding getting sacked. Whoop, which is what makes him great.
Yeah.
Don't use that as an excuse. Anyway, 24-9, your final from Denver. The other headlines from the games include the Panthers are no longer winless, and here's your stat of the day, Andy, coming at you right now. Stand by. Here we go.
Stat of the day.
Will Levis started rookie for the Titans. He threw 4 touchdown passes en route to a blowout win. And he becomes the 7th rookie to start a game this season. It is the most to start in the first 8 weeks since the NFL merger. Behold, your stat of the day!
You know, it's funny. This time last year, Mel Kiper had Will Levis as the number one pick of the draft.
I know. And I had a hard time believing it. I still have a hard time believing the hype. And he fell on draft day. Because they thought he'd go higher than he did. Still considered a project. The Titans have kind of cornered the market on future projects at quarterback. Malik Willis came in, their other project guy they took way too high a year before Levis, and he promptly fumbled, and then Vrabel took him out of the game. They're like, yeah, okay, we tried you. Now get out. But it's not only that, but it's going to get even worse because Jaren Hall came in for Cousins. Who the hell is Jaren Hall? He's a rookie. And so you're going to have another rookie starter next week for Minnesota. So that's going to be eight rookies who start a game. And then that includes, look at all the other guys who made an appearance on week eight alone. Taylor Heinicke, Mitch Trubisky, Tommy DeVito got in the game at one point in the Giants game. Brett Rippon made an appearance. This on top of the known QB2s that started the games, Tyson Bagent, P.J. Walker, Tyrod Taylor, Gardner Minshew, Josh Dobbs. The league can't keep all these quarterbacks safe.
And guess what? Yeah. Guess what? The newly contract extended ape commissioner is going to make this an 18-game schedule soon.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And yet there are roughing the passer calls that are so ticky-tack now. Mm-hmm. They not only infuriate fans, but if you're like me, it makes you really think, what am I doing wasting all my time watching these games? I really think that. There was two calls in the Packer game. I'm sitting there in the stadium going, wow, that's a roughing call, huh? One was on Cousins by the Packers. The other one was on a hit to a receiver because, you know, it's all about safety. It was a complete joke. Oh, by the way, it was a hit to a receiver who turns out didn't catch the ball. The Packers challenged the play, and they ruled that, no, he did not catch the ball, but guess what still stood? The ticky-tack roughing the defenseless receiver penalty. This league. I know. Eventually I'll say it's enough, and I'll stop watching it. I think if I was not in the sports industrial complex, the football industrial complex and in the business, I'd watch a lot less NFL. I wouldn't watch no NFL, Andy, but I'd watch less because of this.
Okay, but in this business, in the sports radio business, it's now really about 90% NFL.
Oh, I'm well aware.
The only month you take off is July when the league shuts down. That's when you get to. There's baseball. Oh yeah, 9 million people watch the All-Star game. Oh, 9 million, really? No, that's what they had for the Hall of Fame football game. So, they have totally taken it over. And all the people who are hockey people whine about it, and the NBA. The NBA, in all of this, and as much of a joke that league is, they're doing well, too. Not numbers watching, but financially, they're doing well.
Although right now, they're struggling with this whole rule that you can't sit guys or load manage guys.
The games
TV games.
The best. That's the best.
So let me summarize the Harden thing. All right, I'll give it a shot here. James Harden wants a trade. Daryl Morey, their GM in Philly, says, okay, fine, let me get to work. Starts calling around. Nobody else wants him. The common reply is, that bag of crap? No. So then Harden realizes that Morey says, you know what? We can't trade him. We're going to keep him. So now Harden is pissed off at Morey, calls him a liar, says he'll never play for the Sixers. Shows up briefly for training camp, then leaves the team. Morey is asked right before the season opener against Milwaukee, will he be available for the opener? And he says, well, I don't know. I texted him. The last message I got back was, fuck you. quote unquote, Daryl Morey. He then tries to show up on the team plane to leave for Milwaukee, is kept off the plane by security because they're trying to sort out, what do we do with this guy? We don't want this cancer around the team. And then the NBA says, you know, you might be in violation of our new rule of not playing your starters. You can't write this shit.
I know. I know. Well, this is, and I really thought that Adam Silver was going to be a good commissioner when the first thing he did was when he had the Clippers Donald Sterling situation and threw him out of the league. But since then, he has let everybody else run the league, especially the players. He's totally lost control of it. It's all run by the players now.
It's amazing. Harden is now going to be the third either MVP or almost league MVP to essentially run themselves out of the league because they're so unmanageable and they're so unmotivated. John Wall is only 33, Andy.
I know.
He's only 33, the number one overall pick in the league. He's basically out of the league now.
Yeah, no, he is out of the league, but that, some of that was injury. But Harden,
well, that's true. Yeah, right. Last year was his last year. Do you know how much money John Wall made in his NBA career?
Probably $200 million.
$276 million.
Almost 300.
Okay, but hold on. Russell Westbrook, how old is he? 34.
Right.
Okay. Russell Westbrook is on the Clippers this year, but only on a $3 million deal. And do you know what he made in the league so far?
Probably more than that.
Right. $340 million.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The league is popular. The league is profitable. But they want the TV money to keep going up, and that's why they're scared, because they know that these networks are like, look, we're not getting what we pay for. You rest too many guys under the guise of they're hurt or we want to load manage them. So if you're not going to put guardrails in against that, we're just not going to bid as much money for your rights.
Did you hear, by the way, Doc Rivers explain what went wrong with Harden last year?
No.
In the first half of the season, they were really playing well. And Harden was playing like a point guard because he got Embiid and he was getting him the ball. And what Rivers said, when he wasn't selected to the All-Star team, that's when he went south. And he said to Rivers, and this gives you insight as to how the league is coached now, and maybe it wasn't this way when Red Auerbach ran the show, but he said, Harden came to him and he said, yeah, you're going to need to start playing me with the second team. Why? You get more squeezes on the second team, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's the way the league rolls right now.
Yeah. Westbrook played 32 minutes a night last year, but only scored 7.5 points per night. Did add 7 boards, 8 assists. That's what he does, but is not really a factor anymore in the league. All right, let me steer it back to the NFL for a second. And let's take a break. We got to take a break, Andy. Quick little spot for some crass commercial messages. When we come back, Ron Rivera has an excuse. He didn't see it. Is it a good enough excuse for Andy Pollin, or does he now want him gone midseason? We'll do that next. You are listening to The Zabe. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Cast. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. All right, we're back. The Commanders took it right down to the wire against the Eagles. They fell short, losing by 7. Spread was 6.5. It was actually 14 late. Then they kind of scored a garbage touchdown. Sam Howell was really quite good, but A.J. Brown was even better for the Eagles. And there was a key play that I missed because I was freezing my giblets off at Lambeau Field that I'm now catching up on Sunday night, and that is a catch on fourth down that clearly was a catch by Jahan Dotson that was not reviewed because Rivera claims after the game, I didn't see it.
Well, you got two catches confused.
Oh,
there was
sorry.
A catch that Devontae Smith. Yes, made for the Eagles to keep a drive alive on fourth down.
That was
Everybody
not a catch.
On the sidelines is screaming, he dropped it. Jalen Hurts, veteran quarterback, gets his team right up to the line, runs another play before they can review it. And then Rivera, after the game, says, you know, when he should have thrown the challenge flag, said, I didn't have a chance to see it. Well, you know, at that point in the game, fourth down, you got to throw the flag and take the risk there. And he didn't do it. And they scored a touchdown a couple of plays later.
Isn't Rivera in charge of the whole football operation?
Not for long. Another 9 games, and it's goodbye, new regime, the whole schmear.
This is almost like the opposite of Joe Gibbs' dedicated replay guy. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, Larry Hill.
who we affectionately dubbed Benny Hill.
Well, but wait a minute. From what I understand, he was correctly advising Gibbs, who did not have instant replay his first time around.
Right.
He was correctly advising him what to do, and Gibbs would say, nah. Challenge flag anyway. Right. Well, you hired him for
right.
expertise.
Right. But it's the bookend opposite, because Gibbs hired a guy knowing he couldn't always see everything, but then when the guy he hired said, hey, do challenge this, don't challenge that, he ignored him. Rivera, I guess, just doesn't see things and then just stands there like a statue. It's insane. Yep. With all the people NFL teams employ to be assistant coaches, coordinators, position coaches, quality control coaches, and all the headsets and all the King's microphones and cables, that nobody could go challenge that. And then Rivera says, I didn't see it. This guy sucks. Fire him tomorrow. Tomorrow, Andy. I know you say, well, he's gone soon enough. There has to be immediate accountability for this.
Yeah. The problem
you're still not there. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Poland is still not there. Well, he's not found the breaking point to go, you know what? Fuck him. Fire him. They've even said they're going to make trade decisions before the deadline based on whether they won this game or not.
I understand. But this is a new ownership that doesn't want to be associated with the old ownership that would do things this way.
Oh.
It is a pointless thing to fire a coach at this point.
No, I disagree. I disagree. It has a point. The point is, I'm the new owner here. Yeah. And even though I inherited this guy, I'm not going to tolerate a head coach who clearly is in over his head. I won't do it for the players on this team who are giving their all. I won't do it for the fans who are paying their money. I'm not meddling. We have a coach who says he doesn't see important plays and apparently doesn't have staffers who can get in his headset to go, you need to challenge that, Ronnie. It's not a catch.
Yeah,
fire him. That's the point.
Bruce Allen was the guy in the booth for a while, so they've never really taken that spot.
Sucked as well. Well, but so you don't believe in my theory that that's a good enough point on why to fire a guy for the players who are giving their bodies up for this staff that is letting them down, and for the fans who are fucking sick of it. I got to imagine on today, Monday, on sports radio in D.C., that he's not going to get roasted. He's
He'll get roasted, but he's been roasted. But that's not. I was doing a television show in 2000 when North Turner was fired at 7-6, and we would have players on. And I was doing it with Irving Fryer and Mark Carrier, and there'd always be another player that they bring on. And after that happened, they were all sitting around talking during off the air, of course, about what a cluster F it was, because they had guys who were responsible for doing certain things, didn't know what to do because everyone in the staff got shuffled around. He fired the special teams coach at the same time, LaCharles McDaniel. So while it seems like a really good move on the part to show, we're not going to put up with this anymore, it creates chaos in the organization. So I don't think it's necessarily a great thing for the players if you do that.
The difference is chaos was that regime's brand. That was the management and the circus of Dan Snyder. I'm trusting Josh Harris is way more competent.
Oh, he's already hired an analytics guy. He's hired the analytics guy, and he says, your boss is Ron Rivera. Oh, Ron, here's your new employee. So that's the first shot right there.
If it's me, you fire Rivera because, one, it's justified. Two, it's the right thing to do for the players who you plan to still have on the team beyond 2023. Number three, the fans are owed that. And number four is that it just sends a message of we're not going to allow this. The only downside of firing him is I believe you'll win one or two more games, and that hurts your draft position. Any coach who comes in there, a ham sandwich that you put a headset on will be as good as Ron Rivera at this point. What does he do? He doesn't call plays. He stands there on the sideline. What do you do around here?
How did it work with Jeff Saturday and the Colts last year? How well did that work out?
I'm not saying hire a guy who's a player with no experience.
It's going to be Jack Del Rio. Okay. Is it going to be a better situation the rest of the year with Jack Del Rio as the head coach?
No, like I said, the new coach, the ham sandwich or Jack Del Rio, will win one or two more games because they are minimally attentive to what the fuck is going on, and Ron Rivera is not.
Well, last year he didn't realize that after they lost to Cleveland in that abysmal game where
they were eliminated.
Yeah, that they would be eliminated later in the day. I guess if somebody won, I forget who won, but whatever it was.
Maybe they'll fire Ron before Thanksgiving, and then fans of the Commanders can say Happy Thanksgiving, which is how Ron Rivera came into the job, because Dan Snyder, afraid of his own shadow when standing in front of a microphone, stumbled into an awkward Happy Thanksgiving, even though it was January 4th.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That said, I got some other stuff to get to with you. Apparently, you loved Chris Mad Dog Russo's retirement boast that backfired in his face.
Well, I am not one of those who says, he better stick with it. Look, he has been doing this sports radio thing for a long, long time. He's been very, very successful at it. He is also not some Stephen A. hack on baseball. He loves baseball.
Agreed.
He knows baseball. And so
why would he say something that proved to be so stupidly wrong if he knows baseball?
It's because the fandom got into him. And every one of us has said, every one of us has said something ridiculous like that at some point when we're watching our teams. So if you want to run him out because he made some little thing on his radio show,
I'm just saying,
some people do. I've heard some of these high and mighty sports radio blowhards say that. I mean, this is the guy who pretty much invented the business and is a wonderful guy. I mean, I know him.
He is a mensch.
I like him very, very much.
Yes. He does not treat down people who are not at his level. Exactly. And I'll give him that. And I enjoy his style, but here's what disappoints me. I always thought he was better than this. I don't feel like it paints him as a credible broker of opinion, which is what is becoming more and more scarce in today's industry. I want, as I am a consumer of the product that I also serve, Andy, mm-hmm. I, as a consumer, seek out what I consider to be credible brokers of opinions and information, meaning they try their best to be as right as they can the most often they can. And they're not in it for cheap clicks and viral rants and other bullshit. And so I felt like this was beneath Mad Dog.
Okay, maybe he made a mistake, but would you really want him to take it as far as, okay,
no.
I promised I'd retire, going to retire.
No, yeah. But then no. The milking of it as well. It's like, oh, I'm going to go on Howard Stern because okay. I said this. So it had the dual effect of a viral clip with no consequence, and he got a second bite of it when he was wrong.
If I were Rob Manfred, I would bring in my television partners, TBS, Fox, and ESPN, and have these executives around the table and say, here's my friend Chris Russo. One of you is going to hire him as an analyst because our sport isn't drawing flies, and this guy is passionate about it. He's going to bring in an element of people who are not really interested in our sport because it's been too slow, but thank God we've speeded it up with the pitch clock, and I consider him to be an asset for baseball. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah, and then you're going to hear Russo go off about Moose Skowron and how good he was with runners in scoring position, and you'll realize that he doesn't skew. He does not skew or appeal young in any way, shape, or form. Russo is a 60-year-old guy.
64.
No yeah. offense to you 60-somethings. I hope to make it to 60. I've got 5 hard years ahead of me to do that.
Cut back on the carbs. You'll be fine.
All right. There's this on the movie front. Uh-huh. How long is too long for a movie?
That one, because my bladder would not. What is it? 320 you're about to tell me, right?
How do you know what story I've got queued up here? You must be in touch with what's going on these days.
It's the new
Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon runs 3 hours and 26 minutes. Now, Scorsese is one word synonymous with the best of the best of the best movie directors ever, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Scorsese, what? He's got the likes of DiCaprio and De Niro in this movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No movies are coming out right now because of the actor's strike, right? But it's mm-hmm. 3 hours and 26 minutes. And here's what's hilarious. A number of isolated theaters started inserting a intermission for the 3 hour and 26 minute movie. And the studio got wind of it because of viral clips showing the screen saying, time for an intermission, the movie will resume in 10 minutes, and said, you better not do that again. We'll yank the movie from your theater.
Wow.
Thoughts? I turn it to you, Andy. Did the theaters, are you with the theaters? If you would have been given a 10-minute break, would you say, oh, great, I need to stretch my legs and take a pish? Or would you be like, hey, I was watching the fucking movie?
Oh, 100%. Thank God I got a pee. And absolutely. That in fact, I saw, I think it was Ann Horn today or whoever reviewed it in the Post, liked it. And I liked the cast. I liked Scorsese.
Sure.
I liked everything about the movie. And then I saw 3 hours and 20 minutes. I said, Netflix. You hit pause and you pish. And you come back. This is impossible. I can't do 320.
And that wouldn't take you out of the moment of being immersed into this world of the movie?
No. When you see a play, they have intermission. And when and I think there was a time, I remember, when I was a kid, they used to do intermissions in long movies. I think they did.
Yeah. 2 hours and 59 minutes. Is that too long?
It's pushing it, I'll tell you.
2 hours and 45 minutes.
I like 220. 220 is about right.
220 is about right. What if you go into the theater absolutely bone dry and parched, not a drop in your middle-aged birdie bladder?
What I do, no matter how long it is, once they start playing the previews, I go pish. just to make
just
sure.
One more. Right, yeah, the obligatory. Okay.
Even if it's a little trickle, just to clear it out, and then you know, as soon as the credits roll, unless it's one of those movies where they have little scenes during the credits, you know, the Ferris Bueller thing, then I stay till the end. But otherwise, once the credit rolls, I'm going to the bathroom. Yeah, all absolutely.
Right. But a diaper.
Not yet, but my dad at the end was diapering. Yes.
Okay. Well, may we all end up in diapers. It means we've lived a very long life.
Yes.
All right, Andy. Off we go to Sunday Night Football. Any thoughts on the World Series? Tied at one game apiece as America falls in love with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I don't know if they fall in love, but I'm starting to have some hope for the Texas Rangers because they were once the team of my youth.
Oh, really? Senators. Oh, that's right. How would you feel if the Rangers wore Senators jerseys like the Titans wore Oilers jerseys with the Oiler logo, the Derrick rig on their helmets? This was such a crime against uniform humanity. The league should have not allowed it.
Yeah, I agree. It would be like...
the Ravens wearing the Colts blue horseshoe.
Yeah, the Ravens would be wearing the Cleveland Browns.
That's right. If the Ravens wore the Browns, Indy didn't lose a team. But yeah, it just, whatever. So yeah, I think America just found out now that the Arizona Diamondbacks are in Arizona, even though it's in their name. But I'm sure the ratings will be appropriately low. Oh. I'm enjoying it. I'll look forward to game 3 tomorrow night.
Me too.
All right. Very good, Andy. As always, my friend, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, there you go.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry about my voice cracking. Again, not prepared for the blast of early winter, and it's going to snow on Tuesday here in Milwaukee. So, yeah, baby, let's go. Have a great Monday, folks, and we will see you tomorrow. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.